Welcome to Manage Tools. This week, the previous boss rule part one. The questions this cast covers are, why do some directs resist change more than others? What can I do when directs resist changes? And how can I lead someone who is resistant? If you want answers to these questions and more, stick around.
Hey folks, it's Mark. We're getting bombarded here with requests for more client work and more public conferences work. So if you're feeling like maybe it's now the time to get some training, you're not alone. In fact, we're so busy here, I'm having to fill in now after a couple of years of being retired from training because we can't hire people fast enough. It's a good sign, but it may be that if you're not well-trained and don't know the basics of management, you could get left behind by those people who do. So in March, what are we doing? March 10th, we're doing a virtual effective communicator course. On March 15th, 16th, and 17th, we're in Chicago in person for an EMC and ECC and an effective hiring manager conference. Starting on the 21st of March, we're doing a virtual EMC. Those are four sessions, about 2 hours long, done over Zoom. I think it's the 21st through the 31st. We're doing those sessions on four different days within those 10. And we're going to be in Los Angeles for a public event on the 22nd and 23rd, EMC and ECC. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. the 29th and 30th. And we're also doing a virtual effective hiring manager conference on the 29th and 30th. I hope you'll consider coming to one of our conferences, learning how to be a better manager, better communicator, and better hiring manager.
All right. We are so excited to bring you this cast. Both Sarah and I agree this cast is really fun, really helpful. And we are here to talk about the fact that, y'all, we'd love for managing to be easy.
Oh, but we ever love it.
And usually it isn't. I remember being promoted and kind of had this moment where I mentally kind of looked around at the landscape and thought to myself, gosh, I thought there'd be cake.
I think a lot of people think that about management. Mm-hmm. I thought there'd be cake. This is not what I expected at all. No one told me.
No one told me. We'd all like it to be easy. Usually it isn't. And a big reason for that is the average manager doesn't know how to manage. It's usually not their fault. They weren't taught, just as we weren't taught. Although I had an advantage in that I had already started listening to Manager Tools when I moved into my first managerial role. So I definitely had learning and teaching. And so I don't mean to brag, you know, no need to boast. And most of us weren't taught or trained how to manage, probably just like if you're listening, you may not have been.
Mm-hmm.
What that means for people's directs, who may well now be your directs, is that those directs don't know what good management looks like.
They do not.
It's also not their fault, right? It's not your fault. It's not their fault. And that's why we're here. That's why we've always been here, to help. In fact, I remember when we very first started putting out casts, and if you Googled "my boss is," the first autocomplete was a jerk.
Yeah, that sounds right. Many of them are.
It was in there. And That's why we've been here. That's why we are here. It's part of why we're here, I suppose. It's not fair to say it's the total reason. We've got a lot to cover with this cast.
We absolutely do. We've got multiple points, starting with the previous boss rule. That means why essentially we should understand what our directs are going through right now. And then we're going to walk through how to overcome the previous boss rule. That is, build trust first, take time to explain, forgive the resistance, demonstrate patience, and be insistent without insisting.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kate, let's start with the previous boss rule, which is very simple. I mean, the previous boss rule states, your directs bring all their relationships with all of their previous bosses to their relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I talk a lot about this in our conferences, a lot about individuals. We're talking about how to manage a difficult direct, et cetera. And I always tell the managers in the room, listen, guys, all of the people you manage, they are a ball of past human experience.
Mm.
Right? Have all of the things that you've been through been good things?
Mm-mm.
No. Have you experienced everything there is to experience?
No.
No, absolutely not. And our directs are in that same place. They've had some experiences. Not all of them have been good, and they certainly haven't experienced all there is to experience.
It's just a restatement of the fact that people learn from those experiences. And so if you have directs who are high performing, it may be that they learned that that was success.
Right.
And they've learned that some bosses aren't wonderful to work for. And they bring all of that, that past experience, all of it. They're bringing it right to you. And it's easy to forget, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So hopefully this revelation will, like, it's right up front, right? This is the simplest and shortest guidance you'll ever get from Manager Tools. Your directs bring all their relationships with their previous bosses to their relationship with you. Boom. When you think about it, you probably have an aha moment. Of course. It's no wonder they're resistant to one-on-ones or feedback, right, or the rest of the Trinity. Of course they don't like it when I introduce deliverables or effective meeting management or when I eliminate panel interviews. Now you can immediately understand why they balk at visual record keeping or meeting introductions or race, don't chase. It doesn't match their previous experiences.
Right. For many of our directs, no manager they've had has ever done any of these things with them before. And that means that these manager tools are not just new to our directs, but they're also proven by the history of our directs through the entire course of their career that these things are out of the norm. These things are out of the ordinary. These things are different. They are weird. Our directs have had previous managers, and none of those managers have used these things.
Yeah, they know what they know. This stuff we're doing isn't stuff they've seen.
No.
And they've maybe never even heard of it before.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they put up some resistance to all this new fancy stuff? All this cool stuff.
Right? To be honest, guys, we'd bet that many managers have mistaken for surliness or pushback and a lack of team spirit to these new ideas for really what amounts to nothing more of resistance to the new and unexperienced. None of us are great at change. It's not necessarily pushback which we're seeing. In many cases, it's just a new idea that they've never heard and they're caught off guard by. And all of this is because of the previous boss rule.
It might be helpful if you're listening, next time your direct is reluctant, reticent, doing something you see as pushback, if you think to yourself, not of that behavior as pushback, but as your direct demonstrating, I've never seen this before, I'm nervous, or yeah, I've never heard of that, you know, and that is natural. That's a natural, normal, human thing.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be even worse, we'll say, or especially so, of long-tenured individual contributors.
Absolutely.
The longer-tenured your directs are, the more likely they are to have experience, more experience, years of experience, pounds and layers and levels of experience not doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it even makes experienced directs who have had previous poor managers more likely to resist.
Right. Exactly. They have even more experience than anybody else on your team that taught them that what you're doing is, frankly, wrong.
It's against the norm, against the grain.
Exactly. And they've never been managers themselves, potentially, whether they want to be or not. And so they've never been that person who's tried to expose themselves to what it is that managers do or even think about.
In the same way that I would suggest that a lot of people, as individual contributors, haven't read any books about management. Now, there are some people who have. There are people who said, I wanted to be a manager. And so they went out and did the research and looked into how to be successful. And I would argue that a large portion of individual contributors haven't done so. They've never read a book that would allude to why these techniques would be useful. Right. Or just even heard about it. They probably don't sit around with their friends talking about management. Even, I would argue that lots of us don't do that. I have this moment. It's the same moment I used to have when people would ask what I did before. And I would say, oh, I'm an engineer. And you get a certain percent of people who are excited, right? Mm-hmm. But mostly what you get is people's eyes just kind of glaze over.
Oh, it's one of them.
And I have that experience sometime with working here as well, right?
Yeah.
People ask me, what do you do? And some people get really excited. And some people get that, like,
the rest of the people.
Yeah, no thank you. So it's, again, that you might think of that pushback experience as just lack of awareness or fear of, gosh, I don't know.
Right, exactly. And guys, let's think for a minute about what it is that our directs actually have been exposed to on the flip side of that, right? Our directs have likely been exposed to bosses who don't manage at all, frankly. Bosses who think it's appropriate to send out long emails and expect that somehow that long email is going to be persuasive in any way, shape, or form. Bosses who are afraid of what they're trying when they try something new. So they quickly stop it when it goes even the slightest bit wrong. And if you've had enough bosses, which I think all of us have, who've tried new things for a month and then stop because they get busy or stop because there's a crisis or a big project, wouldn't you learn to start looking for a sniff of flavor of the month in everything your boss tries? Right? Wouldn't you not invest on the ground floor in these ideas that your boss is super stoked about? Instead, drag your feet a bit.
Yeah.
Think about finding ways to maybe put an end to all of this nonsense.
Newfangledness.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you've been down this road. You know what this is like.
Seen
your
this
world
movie.
Is turned upside down for 3 months, and then everyone forgets about it.
Yeah. If one of your directs has had a boss who couldn't be trusted, why should they trust you? And there are a great many people who have had some bad bosses.
Oh, a great many.
People who really have learned the, and you learned that lesson well.
Uh-huh.
When things are bad, those lessons are sometimes more deeply embedded in our response system than the positive. And if they've had an experience with a boss that couldn't be trusted, they probably don't feel that they should trust you. Frankly, if they're smart, they know, actually, I should proceed with caution.
Right.
None of us really like to think of someone having power over us who isn't trustworthy. And if one of your directs had a boss who promised them a raise but then didn't give it, they may have learned a bad and necessary lesson from that, which they apply to all managers. And again, why wouldn't they proceed with caution? Their experience teaches them that there could be some negative things happening with a manager. Imagine if you had a boss, they didn't give you any feedback, and then at the end of the year, they surprised you with negative comments from March on your annual review in December.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you start to distrust that process? Wouldn't you perhaps extend that distrust to the manager?
Absolutely.
It's reasonable. Well, that's what we're suggesting.
Absolutely reasonable.
It's reasonable for a person to feel distrust, feel fear, feel uncertainty, and to apply that to what you're trying to introduce.
That's because absolutely true.
They don't know that you're attempting something that is backed by data, that is meant to be supportive of them, that is meant to create positive experiences, results, and retention. They don't know. And they've heard this story before, perhaps.
They've heard this story before.
From someone whose techniques didn't work.
Right. So essentially what we're saying is your direct is full of past experiences. And we need to be patient while they overcome those with you. There's a Zen koan story told of a professor who came to a Zen master to study Zen. A lot of Zens in that sentence. The master poured him a cup of tea. When the cup was full, the master continued to pour. The professor watched the overflowing cup until he finally said, "It's already full, no more will go in." And the Zen master replied, "You are like this cup, full of your own opinions and speculations. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?"
The American version of this is summed up by a Mark Twain quote, which is, it ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that we're recording this today. Last night, I started to watch again this movie, The Big Short, which is a fantastic movie. It's one of my favorites. And this quote is at the very start of that movie. It's like the opening of the movie is this quote. And it reminded me of the fact that people, they often base their responses, you know, their words, thoughts, actions, and things on not only past experience, but kind of like a gut feel.
Yeah.
As opposed to like taking a look at what's really going on and examining it and things like that. And if you have a direct who's willing to engage with you in learning around this, you can definitely show them the podcast, all of the casts, and then you can share with them that learning so that we can kind of alleviate that what you think you know but isn't true situation. Because what's, of course, so disappointing about this is that the examples we provided you, they're not the exception. They're truly, in most cases, they're the norm.
Yeah.
In most cases, they're the norm. That's a really helpful sentence, Kate. Well done. That's kind of how the norm works. Y'all, if you're listening to this, you're the exception. Manager Tools managers are the exception. What we at Manager Tools are trying to do is the exception.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Yeah, you. You are the exception. And that's sad. I mean, it's sad to think about that way, right? To know that all of that bad management exists. And this sad state of affairs in management works against those of us who are actually trying to make ourselves into effective managers. And we're working every day to try and make our organizations better. And we're trying to get better at leading our teams more effectively. Our directs who resist are simply bringing their knowledge of what they've learned is normal. It's not effective, but it's normal in their experience. To bear against our efforts to make changes, we know we need impressive skills. We need patience. We need to overcome this for them.
Yeah. I would go so far as to say that I tend to think of this as kind of like static friction. You might think of it as well as inertia, right? The forward motion of the organization, and that inertia demonstrated as continued forward motion in a vein that's perhaps not as effective. And that inertia, especially the bigger your organization is, that inertia can be really hard to turn around. So in some cases, it happens that the way an organization, the culture of an organization, the way it operates, causes us to feel as if the inertia of the organization is like pushing it forward in a direction that's not accurate or it's not right. It's not on target. That's one thing. I've also seen it kind of demonstrate itself as what I would describe as static friction as well. Just that immobility of a body at rest. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you could be feeling that they're stuck, that they're unwilling to move forward, or you could be feeling that they are moving forward in a direction that isn't the one. Yeah. Right?
Difficult for you to turn around.
It almost sometimes, even in a cohesive team, it varies between directs. Like some directs, it feels like they're just stomping forward in the same marching orders, or some directs, you feel like you're pulling them along. And I do think that past experience in both areas can demonstrate itself that way.
Yeah.
Right? So this stuff seems normal to them. This bad management, poor management, under management seems normal to them. And
not only that.
Yeah, it's making
it
hard.
It's worse than that.
Sure. Yeah, you're right.
Right? It's not just that they saw this bad management as being normal, right? As being average, as being how you expect it, what it's supposed to look like. Part of the larger problem is that they've seen managers do all of this normal but ineffective stuff, and then those people got promoted.
Yeah, and their directs got promoted.
And what would you think? You'd think if someone got promoted that the organization was saying that they agreed with what that manager was doing. We are behind them. We advocate that kind of behavior in our organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's completely logical if you've never been a manager to apply a standard, which is what makes a good manager? And the answer to that would be someone who got promoted. You would assume that upward mobility, forward
looks like.
Motion denotes positive, you know, success. That is completely reasonable. And y'all, that's really kind of like, and we've said this a million times, in the land of the blind, right? The one-eyed man. Mm-hmm. Now, good news, you're the one-eyed man. Sarah, have you seen this new show where everybody's blind?
Oh, see. Yes, I have. It's quite a good show.
It is quite good.
I like it. Jason Momoa is like my favorite.
Do you think it's weird that the opening credits have like tennis ball noises?
I didn't notice that, dude.
Just as a heads up. We're not here to talk about tennis or that show, although it is quite good.
It is quite good.
It's new. It's on Apple TV,
I think.
We're here, though, not to talk about tennis balls, but to discuss how do we bridge the gap?
Yeah.
How do we overcome our direct's hard-learned, hard-earned, and firmly believed assumptions about managers, manager relationships, manager behaviors, what it takes to get promoted? And we talked about like long-tenured individual contributors. Mm-hmm. I think, too, another classic example of this, and by classic, I mean other people who are listening may have experienced it. I certainly did, is long-tenured people who are not necessarily individual contributors. They've been there a long time, and they're maybe like they're not even really managers. This, in a technical setting, this is like people who become the scientist role.
Yes.
And, you know, those people, too, there's a kind of, I don't know, it's not an assumption, but this kind of like unspoken idea of
The untouchables.
Yeah, a little bit, right? It's like, well, you can get to the next level without really doing anything in the management area. And I would almost say that that's true of people who are in the manager sphere in some organizations.
I would agree.
Your directs, their data tells them that X is true. It's based on bad assumptions.
Yes.
And assumptions they have experienced.
Yes, exactly.
So the answer is, how do we bridge the gap? How do we overcome our directs' experiences? The answers are trust and time and patience and communication.
A lot of communication.
Yeah, as much as we can give.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, folks, if you're a listener, I hope you appreciate that we don't take paid ads. We think that's a waste of your time. We don't like three-party economic systems. We put only two, what we call these PSAs, into podcasts. And I would just ask, if you're benefiting from what the community is supporting, I would ask you to take the first step. If you're not already a member, to become a member. It's free, and you get access to all kinds of things. And if you're a member, but you're not a licensee yet, I encourage you to become a licensee. That's how we're able to pay for all of the podcasts and the servers and the support internationally and so on, because our mission is the same as it's always been for nearly 20 years now. Every manager effective, every professional productive.
All right, let's start with the basics, essentially. Let's start at the ground floor. Build trust first. Guys, if our directs are bringing to the relationship with us an inherent lack of trust in managers, period, the answer's simple. The first thing we need to do is take the time to build the trust. Mm-hmm. And with manager tools, we all, of course, know how to do that. It is using manager tools one-on-ones. Now, if you've not yet listened to our podcast guidance on one-on-ones, the best place at this point for you to start, because it is the ground floor, is the map of the universe on our website, top right-hand corner. Looks kind of like a spider web-ish, maybe like a planet, constellations, kind of. Mm-hmm. Click on that. And under management basics, click the Trinity, and then one-on-ones. Now that's where you'll find the one-on-one podcasts. Now, the basics, you should know, has more than just the one-on-ones casts. There are about 7 foundational casts in that node specifically of the map of the universe. Now, alternately, you can also get to the one-on-ones cast, the basics casts generally, by downloading our RSS feed called The Basics. And that feed has more than just the basics. That is, it's got about 30 different casts that cover all the parts of the Trinity and more, but one-on-ones can be found there as well.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, if you're not doing MT03s, start there. If all you get out of this guidance is to start doing MT03s to build trust, to overcome the previous boss rule, it's going to be a huge win for you. One of the things that we hear a lot is how excited people are to learn about feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So absolutely. Excited. And I believe that to be a reflection of the fact that people think that feedback, however you see mm-hmm. that, because when we talk
communication.
About it, yes, because when we first talk about it, they don't know what I mean by feedback, which is
right.
the manager tools feedback model. I believe they believe mm-hmm. that the silver bullet in management is feedback.
Yes, I would agree. That's the thing they're struggling with. That's what they think they're struggling with.
We disagree uh-huh. that is the silver bullet. In fact, if there is a silver bullet,
if there is one,
it would be one-on-ones, specifically one-on-ones that meet a certain set of
yes.
rules, guidelines, behavioral parameters, and that's what we call MT03s. So that is the place to start. And you may notice we said take the time.
Right. That's the thing. You said silver bullet, Kate, which is funny because you're right. One-on-ones is, if there were one, the silver bullet. However, it doesn't move quite as quickly. I mean, as a bullet might, essentially. We say take the time to build trust. Trust is earned. People,
yeah, it doesn't happen overnight.
It does not happen overnight. No, there is no silver bullet moving at the speed of a bullet, which can overcome.
It's like a dirigible.
The previous boss rule.
Right? Yeah. Dirigibles are silver. Like they're just like, mm-hmm. it's moving. It will get there.
It's going to get there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's not going to get there overnight. And that knowledge does disappoint many people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, folks, we understand that and have the data to prove that slow and smooth is actually the fastest way to go.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Ozan, the Ozan rule, with people, fast is slow and slow is fast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Move slow. Slower is better.
We do explain in our guidance on MT03s that trust building is a very straightforward thing. You don't need to worry about your direct's lack of trust in you because of their previous boss.
Mm-hmm.
Bosses, right? That is like worrying about gravity. It will not do you any good.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it exists.
It's there.
Let it go. Remember, too, we always say worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you're never going to go anywhere. And again, accept that the previous boss rule exists, mm-hmm. that it has
it does.
Sway over your situation, and that you can overcome it. However, it does take time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kate, these aren't even just what we're talking about now. Isn't even just managerial concepts. I mean, these are just people concepts for all of the people, all of the human beings. The stuff that we're talking about here is it's psychology and sociology one-on-one. People all build trust the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Humans build trust through communication,
sure.
period.
Yeah.
And other humans receive and evaluate our communications with those people based on two simple principles. That is the quantity and quality of those communications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quantity, amount of communication, right, is just the sheer amount we're communicating with people. All of us communicate more with the people we trust more. Right? If you have low trust, if you don't trust somebody, you're skeptical or suspicious of them, or they've done something to lead you to believe they're untrustworthy, we don't communicate with them as much. So the first step in overcoming that is to communicate more with them than you do right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you have low trust levels with your directs, you have to start communicating with them more. And back to Manage Your Tools one-on-ones, which we advocate and recommend you do on a weekly basis, they're the perfect vehicle for communicating more on a weekly basis.
And quantity is not the entire equation. Quality is also a part of it. And it's also pretty simple. Psychology tells us that other people measure the quality of our communications with them based on whether or not we communicate about things of interest to them. We've all met someone who talks a lot and whom we instinctively know not to trust because all they do is talk about themselves. And if you have had in the last 2 years a conversation with someone about air fryers, I would bet it's with somebody you trust a lot. And I only say this because it does seem like everyone's talking about air fryers. Mm-hmm. I say it because if you trust someone a lot and you talk to them a lot, eventually I've found you end up talking about even the smallest things, like, will I buy an air fryer? So even though you may think to yourself, well, I have these conversations and then they're about these small things, that I found is also a representation of like quality, because you're talking to that person about what's important to them, and that may be what's on their mind right now. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's on your mind. It's simply that people experience trust building as being allowed to discuss the things that matter to them. Yes. And the way that you behaviorally reflect this in one-on-ones, MT03s specifically, is to let your directs go first. Letting your directs go first during MT03s, talking about what's important to them, addresses the quality issue here.
It does. And I mean, I feel like letting your directs go first also kind of addresses the quantity issue. That is how much we hear from them, in that we talk about this in the one-on-ones podcast. But when we started one-on-ones, we started them by letting the manager go first. If you're familiar with the current agenda, direct goes first, then manager, then we talk of the future. When we let managers go first and said, you get 10 minutes, then your direct gets 10 minutes, and then there's 10 minutes to discuss the future, how long do you think managers talked on average?
The whole time.
28 minutes. Yeah. So you're not building a relationship ever if only one person is talking. And unfortunately, when we let the managers go first, you can't get a word in edgewise. We have to let directs go first. Otherwise, the managers can't stop themselves.
Also, this is the only time when they get to go first at work. The majority of the time, it's the manager. And you've experienced that if you've ever shown up to your own staff meeting and discovered you're late and no one's talking. It's because they assume that you are responsible for the majority of
the talking,
the content. Yeah. And so, hey, they just default to that. And y'all, in some cases, there are organizations, and I have seen them, but there are organizations where no one has ever asked the directs to share, given them time to do it. If what you're thinking is, gosh, you know, I don't know if this is the best idea, think about it this way. What we're absolutely doing is allowing our directs a platform to communicate.
Absolutely.
And of course, we're doing this in the service of trust and helping them to understand that we care enough about them to not behave like their previous bosses.
Absolutely.
If you want, though, to overcome this mistrust, your direct's mistrust of you because of this previous boss rule, the thing to do is to start one-on-ones. That's all for this week, folks. We'll be back next week with the continuation of this topic.